bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba ba.
You know, I'm not here to call Kevin out. Kevin's our producer. He does a great job.
Yet the first thing you're gonna do.
Who would you rather have produce the show than Kevin?
Honestly?
Nobody.
It's gotta be at least a few.
The best. Nope.
No, okay.
Nope. You're the dream. You are the dream team.
Thanks.
Just
you're
one person?
Team. Yep. Kevin's the dream team. So, you know, we just had the star of Rookie of the Year on with us on regular radio. And I said, you know, in honor of All-Star Week, let's have the cast of other baseball movies on every day. How about tomorrow we have on the guys from The Natural? And Kevin got a look on his face of confusion.
And said, The Natural?
Yeah, he wasn't sure what The Natural was. But then he quickly rebounded and said, that's Robert Redford, right? We were all proud of him and said, yeah, it's Robert Redford. And I said, and quickly name one other person from The Natural. And who is that? Who did you mention, Kev?
Let me, I think I said Betty Ford.
Betty Ford was his love interest.
She an actress?
No, she was married to Gerald Ford. She wasn't in any movies.
Did she like baseball, though?
So she liked to drink.
Okay, so I'm close.
Yeah, all right.
You've never heard,
but I think it was Glenn Close, though, not your Close. I think Glenn Close was the female lead, not
but,
Betty
wow,
Ford.
Look at that connection I just
yeah, you tied it up. You did, all right.
I mean, there's a lot of movies I haven't seen, in my defense, so your disappointment in me has only just begun.
Good.
I don't see a lot of movies, but and I guess the age difference has something to do it, too. The Natural was very popular. Although being a guy and liking baseball movies, I don't know, I just would have assumed he saw it.
Yeah, you should see. There's 150 movies that everyone should see if you
all
like
right, are
movies.
Are we going to talk about them today? Because we should.
No, but I could find the list. I mean, if you're curious, go to AFI. That's the American Film Institute, because they do these lists of the 100 best horror movies, the 100 best romantic comedies, the 100 best, you name it. They do a list, and more times than not, it's pretty accurate. It's like the top critics, film critics in the country. Very few qualms with their lists, but if you're a movie fan, there are certain movies, and I think The Natural's probably on that list of movies that if you like baseball and you like movies, you should see.
It's a pretty great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
If we ever go through those lists, I'm going to be sick that day. You're going to be real disappointed in me.
All right.
Bill loves
totally
movies.
I mean,
I just, you know, I don't see many of them.
That's all right.
I don't really either.
No.
I like watching it in my own house.
Yeah. Well, they have, you can get that now on the TV. They'll put a movie on every once in a while.
But I mean, it used to be very exciting as a little kid. My grandma used to take me to the Olympic Theater in Cicero.
Uh-huh.
And it was just this beautiful ornamental theater where like the red curtain would actually
go up.
Oh, isn't
that nice?
Yeah.
Now, did it do this? Because there were a couple of movie theaters where I grew up that would do, like, you know how there's coming, they show you clips from five movies or six movies before your movie. So the curtains would open, they would show the coming attractions, the curtains would close, and then 45 seconds later they'd open again for the main presentation.
Because it was a presentation.
I know, but isn't that, like, you figure somebody along the line goes, don't even close the curtains, we're just going to show another movie. But I like the fact that it closed, you had 45 seconds, and then the real movie. Yeah.
Is that an expression you don't like, old school?
Yeah, I'm not.
Boy, you are just like Mikey from the Life commercials. You hate everything.
I don't hate everything, but, you know.
You don't like back in the day and you don't like old school. That's it. You don't like reliving your past.
Because they're ridiculous. Both of them are.
The Olympic Theater, I believe, is still in operation.
Is it still going?
But it's rehabbed and maybe multiplex now.
Yeah.
I grew up in Brookfield, and we, in addition to going to the Olympic Theater with my grandmother, I remember seeing Funny Girl there.
Oh.
With Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
We would also go to the LaGrange Theater, which is also still there,
mm-hmm.
and that used to have the ornamental ceiling and the curtains as well.
That's kind of a nice bonus.
But now there are like four, maybe five theaters in there. I mean, they have to update themselves.
The Tivoli in Downers Grove.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
like
still up and running. One.
And they, like, I think Steve Cochran does some comedy shows there at the Tivoli.
He does.
And they have bands there at the Tivoli.
Yeah, to drown out Steve's stand-up. So people don't want to listen.
He's mean on the stream.
Ouch, burn.
People don't want to listen. They're like, just tell the band to play louder.
They have asked you to be part of this stand-up extravaganza that they have. Your stand-up was so good.
Oh,
you did it for 10
you.
Years, and
thanks.
I can't believe you don't have a hankering to do it just even occasionally.
No.
God,
I was in
so
grade school
good.
For 8 years, but I don't want to go back and do grade school again.
That is a terrible analogy.
I've been told that it'd be in my best interest, that maybe I should go back. No, it's the you know how you do, always look forward, don't look back.
But you're not looking back. It's something you love doing, and you're great at it.
Oh, thank you.
I can juggle. If anyone asks me to juggle, I will go back in time to when I taught myself how to juggle.
Yeah.
I'll juggle for you.
All right. That sounds like a fun show.
I'll tumble for you, Wendy.
Oh, thank you. Hey, it's 7-Eleven day today, you know.
Free Slurpees at any participating 7-Eleven. And what's wrong with you 7-Elevens that won't participate? It's 7-Eleven. Participate. However, it's just, and you know how much I enjoy the Slurpee. That's a drink of beauty, is the Slurpee. But when you get the free one, it's only like the 1 ounce Slurpee. It's the really small Slurpee.
It's not 1 ounce.
It's like a shot glass of a Slurpee.
Like Vicks NyQuil?
Yeah, it's half of that. And it whets your appetite. It makes you want more. And then they tend to run out of them sooner than I want. Like, I think it should be all day. Don't you think? It should be from open to close, from 7 to 11.
You're entitled to your Slurpee, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
I hate when they say at participating 7-Elevens.
They do that with McDonald's.
I know, but they should all just participate.
At participating Burger Kings. Like, just, some Burger King goes, no, we're not going to make hamburgers.
See,
too bad.
You're all in or you're all out. That's where it's black and white.
I agree.
If you have a store-wide promotion, every store should participate.
I agree. I'm with you all the way on that.
It's the 16th straight year 7-Eleven has given out its iconic frozen drink on July 11th or 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Slurpee fan.
Oh, Wendy. They're so good.
They're too fluffy.
They can be, but can I help you with that?
Yes.
Pour it. Go to the machine.
Do you put the lid on first? Because I do.
I don't use a lid.
What?
No lid for me. I don't need a lid. I'm a grown-up. I'm not going to spill it.
Wait, you're a grown-up?
That's a cup of gold. I'm not going to spill any Slurpee. I'm not going to let any of it waste. Pour your Slurpee. You know, pull the machine down. Pull the lever. Have the Slurpee in your cup. Don't be mixing flavors, unless it's cherry and cola, because that one works. But the other ones don't. And then just let it rest for a few minutes. Don't drink it right away.
How can you do that? Isn't that temptation so great?
Oh, the temptation is so great. The temptation is so great. But if Sting taught us anything, Wendy, it's that you want to wait. You don't want to rush to it. You want to wait a little bit.
It sounds like you're pouring a Guinness or something, not a Slurpee.
But I'm telling you, just letting it melt for 2 or 3 minutes, you can't believe the difference. It won't be too fluffy anymore. It'll congeal just perfectly.
Okay, because you know what I mean.
Yeah, oh
it's
yeah,
it's too
definitely.
Light and airy.
Yeah.
Whereas a slush puppy
yeah.
are little beads of ice that you can crunch on.
The slush puppy is good. The icy is good.
Isn't the icy the same as a Slurpee?
Oh, no. Same concept, but different execution.
People think you haven't mastered anything in life. Look at this.
Wrong.
The slushy, though, and just like the snow cone.
Do you mean a slush puppy?
There's a slush puppy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It becomes just ice after a while. You drink all the syrup out, and it's just ice.
That's when you suck up the syrup with the straw, and you spit it back in so you can mix it around. That's what you have to do. You can't drink all... Yeah, you're just trying to... irrigate the little ice cubes at the bottom. So you'd like suck some of the liquid up and then you'd put it wherever it belongs.
Okay.
It's your own spit. It's not like someone else is sharing it with me.
I just hope that's not the flavor of the week at your 7-Eleven.
Wendy's spittle
flavored.
That thing will sell out.
I'll go with the blue raspberry. Thank you.
And you mentioned this a million times before, and I still can't get over it. There is no blue raspberry, yet they call it that, and that's my favorite color. Or flavor.
I don't know why that happened. My theory is because there's so many different red fruit flavors that a drink or a candy can be. Like a lot of times with take Jolly Ranchers, for example. They've added blue raspberry because if it's red, it could be cherry, it could be strawberry, it could be watermelon, it could be raspberry. But
I
with
guess,
blue,
yeah.
Although they could make blueberry, there's nothing wrong with that.
Blueberries don't have a lot of taste.
No?
I love them,
yeah,
but they're not like, you know, you have a raspberry and that thing is tart and it's a party in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
A blueberry is like, blip, it's good, but it's not an explosion of flavor.
Mm. Mm.
All right, so Slurpees, you get a free small one.
Very small.
It's not that
small.
It's
not even the small size. It's smaller than the small.
It says free small Slurpees. So you could go in there and take a small cup and say, it's small Slurpee.
I think you'll have a battle on your hands if you do that.
They're really going to fight you over the difference?
Yeah, they take it pretty seriously.
This started, as I mentioned, 15 years ago. This is the 16th straight year. It runs from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So we're right in the middle of the free Slurpee window.
Yeah. But they always say supplies are limited. So at some point when they run out of really small cups, they just call it a day. They go, we're out of cups. We're out of small cups.
I'm not seeing in this MSN story that it's limited.
Really?
It's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time. And I'm telling you, if you get there at 5 minutes to 7.
Yeah.
And they're out of small cups.
Yeah.
Then they have to figure something out.
Right.
Maybe you could just put your mouth under it.
Yeah, I guess you could. I always bring legal counsel with me.
Oh, boy.
I bring an attorney with me just to show them what my rights are.
Do you know what year the first Slurpee, the Slurpee was first introduced?
1968.
Really close. Two years earlier.
66, yep. Yeah. Just missed it.
Wow.
Just missed it.
Did you have one?
No, I didn't have one until later in life. And it's a good thing, because I would have drank anything else but Slurpees if I had one as a child.
You used to eat dry Weiler's mix.
Yes.
So it's not like your mom was worried about your health. Was there just not
the
a
opposite.
7-Eleven?
No, my mom seemed to want to get as much sugar in me as she could possibly do. It's the weirdest thing. She was like, we had canisters in our kitchen, different sized canisters. We had about a dozen of them. That were each filled with either sugar or something.
Flour, sugar.
No, because those are all baking ingredients. These were just all different kinds of really sugary candies. And we just...
Did she run a candy shop out of her kitchen?
It's the weirdest thing. I don't know what... Like, you know how a lot of parents would limit that and go, we can't just have sugar all over the place. My mom and dad were the opposite. We're like, we need more sugar. Where's the sugar in this house?
Aren't you a little bit of a sugar fiend, though, because of that?
Not anymore, but yeah, there were years.
Well, now you're healthy, but
right.
I mean,
yeah,
like if all bets were off and you could do whatever you want, would you go crazy with candy?
No, not now, but there would have been a time. Yeah.
My dad was a diabetic. I'm telling you, we never had cookies in the house. We never
lucky.
Had sweets. And I mean, every once in a while I have a sweet tooth, but
not often.
Mm-mm. I don't buy cookies. Jim has to go on his store run.
And he'd get them.
Yeah, he has to buy cookies every time he goes to the store. I would just assume not have cookies in my house.
Right.
They get stale.
Yeah. No, my mom and dad both were big proponents of having a lot of sugar around at all times. And when my friends would come over, they were amazed. Like, I grew up with it, so it didn't amaze me. I just thought, well, that's what you do in your kitchen is you fill it with sugary treats.
And it wasn't hidden or anything. It was just right out there in the open.
These clear canisters, there were two different sizes, and they were alternated on our counter. So there was a large one, then a medium, then a large, then a medium, all the way across. There were like a dozen of them.
12?
Yeah. And like every kind of good...
Like Oreos? Or this was candy, not cookies.
There were some had like fudge sticks. Like my mom would always say... I'm getting you guys more fudge sticks, meaning my brother and I. I'm going to pick up more fudge sticks for your brother and you. Okay. And then.
If you have to.
Right. Like, who would say no to that? No, I insist that there be no more fudge sticks. But, all right. So that was one we legitimately liked. But then she bought a bunch that she said was for her, but she never ate them. They were kind of all for us, you know?
What else did you
I'm
have?
I'm surprised
did
we
have
didn't
Twizzlers?
Explode. There was a canister of Twizzlers or something.
Fish.
Yeah, but those didn't really do it for me. But there was always Tangy Taffy. We had a bunch of those. Pez or Candy Tabs, which was like a knockoff of Pez.
Like a jar full of it.
Yeah, like a giant canister filled to the top. Every one of them. I seriously don't know how we didn't explode.
You know what I don't understand is you're the family of two dinners, I believe.
Yeah, we always had two dinners. We had one at 7, and then my dad came home at 10, and we'd have a second dinner when we got home.
Wait,
you didn't have a two dinner?
No.
You didn't?
That's where Taco Bell got their idea for the fourth meal from
right.
the Lefs.
Right. And we did that, honestly, like 4 or 5 nights a week, we had two dinners.
Okay, but here's my question. With all these 12 canisters of candy, the whole point of not having candy and snacks after school is you're going to ruin your dinner.
Right.
You're going to ruin your appetite.
Not a problem for us somehow. We still found a way to have two distinct different dinners.
Wait, so it wasn't like you had Sloppy Joes and then when your dad came home, you'd have more Sloppy Joes?
No, they were always different. Separate? Yeah. More times than not, the 7 o'clock dinner, because my mom would be working sometimes during that dinner. Sometimes,
yeah,
not always.
Yeah, working making the first dinner.
Right.
She was a dance instructor, I know that.
She had a dance studio in our house.
Thankfully, because she had to make dinner all the time.
Well, she had a deal with some of the moms. Like, they would pick up, like, one night it was pizza, one night it was either McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King. One night it was sub sandwiches. Like, different moms, different nights would bring us our dinner, our 7 o'clock dinner, and then she'd make the 10 o'clock dinner.
Here's an idea. She should have charged them money, not food, for the dance classes.
I think they had some kind of reciprocal agreement, but at some point, because we were eating candy all day and then two dinners, and I remember Fetty Arbuckle making fun of us one night. He came to our house.
He wanted to move in.
He thought it was hysterical that we were eating so much. Fetty Arbuckle.
I can't believe your mom made two dinners.
I know.
And then she packed your lunches every day?
No, we had White Castles for lunch. Because at that point, you got to have something healthy in your system. you can't just eat bad stuff all the time. You got to have something healthy.
It's a wonder you guys aren't overweight or diabetic. Seriously. Or dead.
Still breathing is the amazing thing. Yeah, medical science just can't explain it.
And back then, it was not, I mean, I think of it now, and I use McDonald's as a crutch because it's quick, it's easy, and quite honestly, that dollar menu, you can feed a family of four pretty cheaply.
Yeah.
Back then, it was like, I think we might have gone to McDonald's like, I don't know, 3-4 times a year.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's when, if you'll remember, McDonald's used to have this thing where you get a full meal for under a dollar. You get change back from your dollar. You would get a hamburger, fries, and a shake, and then change back from your dollar. No, it doesn't hold up anymore, but not by much. You can still get a fairly...
Pick two. McPick two.
The pick two, right.
And drinks are only a dollar. And why don't other fast food places follow that suit, where whatever size you get, it's just a buck?
Yeah.
Because you're just paying for the cup. There's
right.
No reason they have to charge
right.
So much for soda.
I don't know. That's a good idea.
All right, well...
If only Judy Pilak were here to help us.
I went to the movies on Sunday, and a drink, I guess it was a large, was $4.95.
Oh, yeah. It's more than that by us.
For a fountain drink.
I know.
It's stupid, like you just
but
said.
With the large one, they say you're allowed free refills.
Yeah, okay.
But if you've already drank that much Mountain Dew...
Then you can't make it through the movie. You got to leave halfway to go to the bathroom.
And the popcorn. Who needs a bucket of popcorn?
It's a lot
it's
of popcorn.
Huge. Don't worry, free refills. I'm thinking, we won't even get through a quarter of this.
Can I tell you what Jim does? And this, ever since the boys were little, he was the one who took the boys to the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get everybody a small Coke. Because honestly, the small drinks you can refill as well.
Can you?
Yeah.
He would
stuff a bunch of juice boxes in his cargo shorts or whatever, or the diaper bag if they were little.
Yeah.
And he would get the small sodas. And then he would get one big popcorn. And he would get one of those square boxes. And pour a little in each box, and each kid got their own box.
Smart move.
Saved a lot
Very
of money
frugal.
That way.
Very nice.
Smart move.
Yep. That's a goodbye girl
He
move.
Should be on the goodbye girl with you as your trusted sidekick.
Yeah. Because I need one of those.
He'd love to do it with you.
Think about it, Jude. Maybe during sweeps week.
You know
how the Brady Bunch brought on Cousin Oliver when they needed a cute kid? Or on the Cosby Show they did that
for? Yeah, I might need a sidekick.
Frugal Boy.
You bring on Frugal Boy. Just think about it.
But only when it comes to pop and popcorn.
Right, that's it. That's all he needs. All right.
Can I just say, though, he did that as a little kid, and today, like when I go to the movies with them, he does the same thing, and the boys get their own box, and they're waiting for him to just pour some in. So it really has stuck all these years.
I'm Judy Pilak, and I'm the frugal fella. We're here for you. Just try that. See what happens. All right, we'll take a quick break. Judy's got the news, and there's more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Yowza, 100.
Triple digits, Wendy. You're not going to scare us with that, Judy. I hope you're not trying
really?
To scare
Well, you
us.
Should be scared because that's a very high number, 100.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
It's going to happen again. It's sure. summer, people. I don't know what else to say.
It's muggy today. It's been muggy forever. It's 100 mm-hmm. doesn't seem to be that big of a deal.
We have honestly, and I know I keep saying this, and I don't know if I am continuing to allow the weather gods to make us happy or if I'm cursing us, but it has been so pleasant in the evening. The last couple nights, we've been a little humid, but for the last several weeks, it's been really hot and sunny during the day, and then at night, it's been cool where you could put a little wrap on.
Yep.
Interesting.
A little chicken
Do you
wrap.
Have a wrap? A chicken wrap. Saran wrap? I usually wear Saran wrap myself.
But you could actually like sit on the front porch with a hoodie and not be hot in the evenings. And everybody says, isn't that like what San Diego or San Francisco is like, where it's cool all the nights?
San Francisco a lot more than San Diego.
I get them all mixed up.
Yeah.
San, you know.
San Diego, the weather's just pleasant all day, every day. It really doesn't vary
much. Wouldn't that get boring?
No.
I don't think it would. I would take that here. It's
because it's perfect. Diego, it's not too hot. It's not too cold.
Can you swim? Is it hot enough to swim?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
Would you have a pool if you lived there?
Yeah, I would have a pool.
I was in San Diego in July.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
It's always nice.
But having come from Nevada, which was not fine.
Why do we live here again?
Well,
because
we
have to.
I like to pay a lot of taxes.
Right, that's why.
Like not to have a budget.
We have a budget.
I'm trying to remember which stand-up used to do this thing where he would talk about the most boring job in the world would be to be the weatherman in San Diego, where you go, let's take a look at the weather. It's going to be sunny and 78 today, and tomorrow it'll be sunny and 78, and then the extended 20-day forecast is sunny and 78 every day.
You don't even need a weatherman.
Yeah, why do they have? Why are they employed?
Well, sometimes it might change, I guess.
Not
Front
by
might
much.
Come through, or
well, you get storms.
They get some rain sometimes. Yeah,
San
but
Francisco's
it was
cold,
sunny
though.
And beautiful every day I was there.
Yeah, it always
is. It's ridiculous.
I've never been there.
Oh, you should go.
All right.
We'll do a hometown voices from La Jolla.
I'm
game. La Jolla is beautiful.
Right,
I love that Ocean City, I think it's
Perfect.
Called, by the ocean.
It's really nice. Yeah.
All right. I have a warning that I'd like to put out there. I always plug my cell phone in and my iPad in when I'm sleeping, and it's right next to me.
How close next to you?
On the nightstand.
All right.
But now, one of your daughters had done something in the past where it was closer to her than her nightstand.
Kylie on more nights than not. And it's not as bad now because I've really like
scared
tried to convince her that it's not in her best interest. But sleeps with it almost like a teddy bear where it's right next to her head. And, you know, I'm not usually a conspiracy theorist, but I do think that there's something going on with the cell phones that really isn't a good idea to have close to your brain all night. So I've convinced her, done my best to say, just put it on the table across from the bed. Don't sleep with it right next. You know, her reasoning was always, what if somebody calls me in the middle of the night? But you can hear it if it's across the room from you.
Yeah, but it's not calls. And this is so weird because you can put alerts on your phone if you're not Bill, because he doesn't know how to do
alerts.
Any of this. But like if you're on Facebook, which you are, Bill.
Yeah.
Twitter, which you aren't.
Yes, right.
MySpace.
I'm still getting on that.
Which nobody is.
I'm still on an application for MySpace.
I should check it. I haven't checked it in about 10 years.
A guy named Tom has befriended me on there. How about that?
Where is he now? We should look
I'm
into
sure
him.
Where Tom is.
But all these, you know, Instagram, all these things, when hanging out with my 14-year-old as we're doing our Chicago tour this summer, every single solitary minute that thing is going off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you get a text? It's like, no, it's just an alert on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that thing is constantly going off. So I don't know how Kylie could sleep with that next to her anyway.
Right, I know.
But now there's a big danger. ABC News, does your child charge their phone on their bed or under their pillow? New Hampshire Fire Department has posted a warning to parents on Facebook about the fire dangers of phone chargers on beds. Newton, New Hampshire Fire Department shared a photo of a phone charger that burned a bed sheet blanket with the warning, the heat generated cannot dissipate and the charger will become hotter and hotter.
Yeah.
Now, I do notice on an iPhone, when you plug it into the wall, if your battery's pretty low down, that little cube gets pretty warm.
Yep, I've noticed it on my iPad.
Yes.
It gets very hot.
It does. And, you know, I plug into a really thick extension cord. It's not always into the socket. And that whole thing gets warm. Now, am I just a fire hazard waiting to happen?
No, I think a lot of them are like that, aren't they? I think.
With an extension cord?
Well, yeah, that they get a little bit hotter, like just to the touch, you can feel that there's some heat generated.
But that's a problem. Now, when the phone is plugged into the cord, or the cord is plugged into the phone and it's under your pillow, that's what the problem is. There's no air circulation in that thing.
Right.
Because sometimes, even when you're charging your phone, the back of the phone gets hot.
Yeah.
Is that just me? Do I need a new battery?
No, a lot of them are like
that's what's happening.
I don't touch mine then. Because I don't sleep with mine like the kids.
No, but later when it's plugged in, just feel the back of it.
You can feel some heat off of it. Yeah.
The likely result is that the pillow or bed will catch fire. They have a picture I showed you, Bill. It's bed sheets completely singed.
Every parent needs to show their child that picture.
Yeah.
All right, well, we should put it up on our... Kevin, I'll send it to you. We can scare people. This places the child teen, as well as everyone else in the home... great danger. It's completely singed sheets from plugging your phone in.
Oh, wow.
And it's charred. 53% of children and teens charge their phone or tablet either on their bed or under their pillow. This can be extremely dangerous. The heat generated cannot dissipate. The charger will become hotter and hotter. The likely result is that the pillow or bed will catch fire. This places everyone in peril.
Yeah.
So that's my my little helpful hint.
My daughters have Chicago Fire bedspreads with the logo of the show on it. So that would be ironic if there's one up in flames, wouldn't it?
And maybe it's supposed to go up in flames.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's the only blanket you can buy that says flammable.
Right.
You know,
proudly, in a proud font.
Your kids are a little older than mine, but when they first had pajamas, it was so important to get the
flame retardant.
Mm-hmm. But think of the bad polyester pajamas wore as kids. It was as bad as Halloween costumes.
We had, when I was a kid, we had our principal Christmas tree in the living room. And then one year my parents got us one for our bedroom. And we were going to put lights on it. And then at the last second, my mom saw on the box that there was a warning on the bottom of the box. Not a huge warning, just a small box that says, under no circumstances put lights on this tree because it was made of a material that would go up in flames.
But it's a Christmas tree.
Right. But that's how, like a generation before us, most of the Christmas trees you weren't supposed to put lights
on. But everybody did.
You did.
Our old one, it was like little cellophane needles. It was just... you know what I mean?
Those.
Like it was like little pieces of green plastic, basically.
That would burn.
Well, what about in some countries, and I'm sure there were real trees, they would put candles on them.
Right.
Always cracked me up.
That might not be safe.
Exactly, even if it's a real tree. No.
Right.
Yeah, they have little candles on them for
lights. But you know, that color wheel that everybody's great aunt has?
Oh, so the tree revolved, or the color changed?
The color kept
circulating. My aunt never had that.
Well, your great aunt didn't have that? I thought everybody's great
aunt. I've been looking for one for years.
They're fantastic.
Goodwill.
I
know.
I love those.
They get snapped up so quick.
But the reason those were invented was because so many trees weren't equipped to have our traditional Christmas lights on it. So if you went and added some color to it, you used the color wheel.
I thought the color wheel was for the hideous aluminum trees that...
No, that's
would just
different.
Change color.
That's different.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's different.
And then when you got the pajamas, obviously flame retardant became, when our kids were born prior to that, they never said that.
Right.
And the key was the pajamas were supposed to fit really tightly.
Sure.
You couldn't have it. And who likes to sleep feeling like you're in a corset?
Right.
Those little onesies. I remember, like, making sure they were just so tight.
Oh.
Like, if they would have laughed or tooted, the snaps would have popped. But they did that because
in case...
Was
that a fun game you guys played at your house?
Laugh or toot.
Let's have some pork and beans and watch the magic.
Babies do that. But they were so tight, and you wouldn't want to do that. You'd want to get them so you could wear them for a couple of years, but they said if there was ever a fire, you don't want loose-fitting clothing.
Right, that's true. Speaking of things catching fire, did you see this? Now, I saw this in a couple of different places. A couple of people had this on their Facebook page, and then I found it on a website yesterday. Somebody's posting this stuff that looks like cheese, and they sell it at Publix grocery stores, which they don't have here. Publix are mostly in Florida and in the South. So it's the stuff that looks, in every way, it looks like cheese, like, you know, the Kraft individual slices, you know,
the singles.
Yeah, your single slices. All right. So it looks like it. It smells like it. It acts like it, except they show that when you light it on fire, you know, like if you lit a slice of cheese on fire, it would melt. Right. well, this stuff doesn't melt. It just gets really brown and then black, and then it burns as though a piece of plastic would burn. So the person who's illustrating this point with the fire and the quote-unquote cheese product is saying, how can you sell us something that you're pretending is cheese when in reality it has much more of the characteristics of plastic than it does of cheese?
That is scary.
Because to watch this thing burn, and the woman's going, this is something that I would put on a sandwich and want to eat, but look, it doesn't burn like cheese burns. It burns like plastic burns.
Ew.
Yeah, I know.
I guess you could get it for your fire pit.
Yeah, that would be a better move.
Go get the cheese. We'll have a fire tonight.
So they created some sort of a letter. It's Monsanto that makes this. So all these people are signing a petition to Monsanto saying, hey, if you're going to sell us on something pretending that it's cheese, you should really say to us, by the way, this is not cheese, because it doesn't say, you know how there's some ice creams, if you go down your grocer's freezer, it's in the ice cream department, so you go, well, this must be ice cream, but when you read the fine print, it just says frozen dairy treat, it doesn't say ice cream, because it's not. Same way with the cheese.
Well, what would the cheese be, though?
Well, I think Kraft Singles
has some cheese in it, right?
That has to have cheese in it, doesn't it? From Kraft?
I don't know. Cheese. Sometimes I forgot to take the plastic wrapping off and I couldn't taste the difference.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding. Bah. And I'm telling you, I ate so many of those Kraft Singles growing up. That was the best cheese to use for a grilled cheese.
Yeah, right.
Still wouldn't be.
And did you sometimes just have it as a snack?
Yeah.
Like if you were just a little hungry, you go, I'll just have a Kraft Single or two, and that will tide me over until dinner.
Yeah, because in a way, that's all I recall ever being able to get American cheese.
Right.
In just that way. But I thought it said
it's not like now when you go into Mariano's
like
and there's cheese from every corner of the earth. They have like cheese, you name the country, they're providing a cheese from that country.
I feel like we got our cheese sliced
by the deli guy.
Yeah. Well, we had a store across the street from Tom's.
Oh.
Yeah, and Velveeta's the same kind of consistency, but the Kraft Singles, it says,
does it say the word cheese
just
on there?
Just listen. It says, first of all, in a big circle, no artificial preservatives or flavors.
All right.
Which I don't understand that. But that's what they're saying. And, Bill, it says pasteurized prepared cheese product.
All right. So they're using the word cheese, which I like, but I don't like that product is in there. I just think it should say cheese. But this is Kraft. Like, this lady's not ragging on Kraft at all. It's just a product that looks like Kraft, but it's made by Monsanto, and they sell it at Publix.
Doesn't Monsanto make fabrics?
Yes, they do.
Well, yes, they make fabric cheese. It probably says imitation cheese, right? Imitation.
I don't think the word cheese is written anywhere on it, but I think our minds trick us because we see something that's the color and the shape.
And if it's on sale for 98 cents, I'm picking it up.
Yeah, then you got to get it.
Yeah, but what about that soy cheese that you see? Yeah, and everybody, you know, I got to tell you, got their panties in a bunch. Like, soy is so good for you, and now I'm hearing that soy is not really all that great for you.
Oh, is there a backlash?
But if you took, they make like a cheese product out of soy for people who are lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, if somebody tried to burn that, I bet it would be the same kind of thing.
More of a plasticky burn than anything else?
Yeah, but soy, you know, soy is a natural product, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like a soybean.
Yeah.
But have you ever tried to burn a soybean? Because I haven't.
In your rebellious youth, Judy, you and a bunch of friends.
I'm going to burn the soybean that you put on my plate. No, I don't think I ever saw a soybean when I was growing up.
I don't know where Orion is right now, but one tear is coming down his eye, much like the Native American in the pollution commercial of the 70s.
Who we found out was not a Native American.
I don't think he was.
Is anything real anymore?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, Monsanto created that guy.
Well,
I think they did.
Yeah, I mean,
Ionized Cody, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Ionized Cody,
much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I could believe that about the cheese because I think there are some products that are just completely imitation.
Right.
They're not.
Right. And it's, in a way, it's kind of genius. I hate to admit it, but it is because you're fooling the public because you go, well, I've seen so many products that are this size, shape, and color, and I just assume it's cheese.
Right.
But in this particular case, it is not. But when you see the stuff burn, because she's lighting a match to it, I go, oh, I've seen cheese burn before. I know what's going to happen. It's just going to get gloppy and melt and be all over the place.
And
she's
smell bad.
Right. That's what's going to happen.
But it didn't.
But no, but think about it. If you had a barbecue going and you put that on your hamburger, like the way cheese normally would melt
into
it.
Oh, yeah, what would happen then?
This would just look like you had burnt plastic on your hamburger.
That's how I order mine.
With some burnt plastic?
Yeah.
On the side, please.
No, then you don't need a bun. It all stays together.
Oh, that's true.
Can I give you the ingredients of a Kraft Singles?
Yeah.
It consists of cheddar cheese.
Oh, that's good.
That's the first ingredient, and obviously the first one they list
the most
is the,
prevalent.
Yes. Whey.
No way.
Whey.
Yes, whey.
Water.
Yeah.
Protein concentrate. Milk. Sodium citrate. Calcium phosphate. Milk fat. Gelatin. Because gelatin will burn. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Remember the big gummy fire of 03?
Yes, I
saddest
do.
Day of my life.
Salt, sodium phosphate, lactic acid as a preservative, annatto and paprika extract for color, enzymes, vitamin A, palmitate, cheese culture, and vitamin D3.
That sounds like cheese.
Well, I want to see what's in the cheese in question, though. The so-called cheese.
Right. They're not showing it anywhere?
I can't. Monsanto cheese.
The fake cheese, as it were.
It's sold at Publix. Let's see if that helps at all if you're throwing it through your Google box.
Similarly, Bill.
Leave my Google box out of this.
Sorry.
Nacho cheese Doritos make great campfire starter. Because
Do they really?
They burn
Why?
Forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're super flammable.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
I don't even know how I knew that, actually.
Wow.
Nacho cheese Doritos.
Yeah.
Back to the cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It all comes back to cheese.
Those look like burning embers anyway. It's weird that you'd use those as a fire starter. Right. I hope you're listening, Boy Scouts. Get a badge for that.
You know, in Wisconsin, if you're going to graduate from school, you know how here in Illinois you have to take the Constitution test? In Wisconsin, you have to take a dairy product test that is very similar to what we're discussing now. You have to know the answers to all these
cheese-related. I could probably pass that test.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
Who doesn't love cheese?
It's not showing up, Wendy?
No.
I wish I could tell you. I don't. It was on a bunch of Facebook.
Did you make it up, Bill?
No, I didn't make it up. That's fake news. I won't be a party to that. But it was on a bunch of Facebook feeds yesterday, and I swear I wasn't going to watch it because I go, I'm not going to watch a lady burn a slice of cheese. I know how this movie ends. And then I watched it.
How does it end?
Not the way you thought.
I wouldn't know.
It was a surprise ending.
Right. It was. It sure was.
But think about all the Kraft Singles we ate. And
it was like the crying game of cheese movies. It was a crazy surprise ending.
Kraft Singles, a processed cheese product. They say it right on the package. They're not trying to do anything about it.
But product...
Processed cheese is one
just
thing.
Means it
imitation
was...
is what... It's like crab meat when you buy imitation crab meat.
Right. And sometimes
I don't even know what that is. Yeah, I don't know what I buy.
That's a certain type of fish that they just.
But it's not crab.
Crab
in
juice
no
on.
Way is it crab.
Yeah.
It looks like crab.
But 9 out of 10 of the sushi places you go to they use that imitation crab.
Really?
Yeah.
But they spell it like Buster Crab.
With
like
a K?
C-R-A-B-B-E or something like that. This tastes like Buster Crab. This isn't regular crab.
I'm telling you, I've been to some pretty great sushi places, and they have like a soft shell crab, which is actually that. But if you get the California roll, it's just that imitation crab thing.
They shouldn't
Ew.
Do that.
But it's everywhere I go. I've never seen a real hunk of crab meat.
Does it say it, or you just know it is?
I can identify it. I am a crab leg expert. I love them. I prefer the king crab. They're a little more work, and you can really cut yourself because they're sharp.
Right.
I prefer those to a snow crab. But when you get a big, I have mastered the snow crab where you can pull it out, and it's one big piece.
Yeah. Ooh, you're good.
And it's like kind of grainy.
Right.
When you bite in this imitation crab, your teeth goes right through it. There's no grain. There's no, like, flaking. It's just like a solid piece of fake crab.
Right. It's not one big hunk. That's
no.
the difference. And that was the address Kevin applied for his...
One big hunk.
He wanted to live at that address. Yeah, they turned him down.
But think about the Kraft Singles cheese product. We all grew up eating
them. Oh, absolutely.
And,
that's
you know,
a staple.
I feel like when we grew up eating it, it didn't have all that stuff in it. Like, I don't think, it certainly didn't last that long.
Right.
I mean, you bought it and ate it. We didn't put stuff in the refrigerator for weeks.
Right.
You know, you could buy cheese now. It lasts a long time.
Our Kraft Singles lasted forever.
Did they?
Did they?
And I don't even know if you have to refrigerate
them. Ours did
it
because we ate them. That's what I mean. No, I think you do now.
Velveeta, you don't have to refrigerate. Read the packaging.
No, Velveeta is, I believe, imitation
processed
cheese.
Processed cheese spread.
Yeah. It's awesome when you're making
spread,
fondue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not going to ever diss Velveeta.
You can't, Jude.
No,
don't.
Not when I can make those.
Please don't. You'll lose your Silver Circle award.
What are uglies?
They're called something else, too, like...
I wouldn't partake in something. Hey, you want some uglies?
Mom's making uglies.
Even worse, there's something on a shingle. That's what people call them, too. You know, those little rye bread.
Yes.
Yeah, with the sausage.
Our family calls them hanky-pankies.
Hanky-pankies, wow. Yeah, those two.
It's like...
Kevin, if you're ever invited to a party at either Judy or Wendy's house, say no.
I'm staying home.
Don't go.
I love those hanky pankies. It's like Jimmy Dean pork sausage, mushrooms, Velveeta, and then you put it on a little square piece of rye bread, like cocktail, and you bake it in the oven so it all melts. It's really good.
Really, really good.
I want to make those tonight.
Make them for dinner.
I'd have those for dinner with the salad.
You
wouldn't
just use a whole rye bread.
I can just make a giant one on a piece of beefsteak rye.
Now we're talking.
Throw a slice of plastic on and I'll be over.
All right.
I would love
that. Don't burn
the uglies.
Yeah, I love it. All right, we must take a break. Stay here. Jude, thanks for hanging out. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You were walking out of here before saying goodbye. What's up with that?
I have an important meeting.
I have the same meeting.
Oh.
It's not that important. Because we're invited.
Right. If it was important, they wouldn't let us in that meeting. Who are we kidding? That's it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. Tomorrow should be a good one.
Really? Why? What do we have on? Oh, it is a good one.
Yeah.
Should we say?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nope.
All right. Tune in tomorrow and find out.
Big surprise tomorrow. Big surprise. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye.